The deepest questions I had, I would bring there, and the Bible study leader would say, he said, Eddie, you know, that's a very good question. Turn over to 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath the life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. I threw verse 13 in for good measure. See, God's word opened for me the kingdom of God. It's the word of the kingdom. It's the seed of Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 19 says, this is the word, this is the logos of the kingdom, the word of God. God's word opens us. Entering the kingdom means beginning a relationship with the king. He didn't send an emissary. Jesus, God did not sit up there with his BlackBerry and text us about salvation. He sent his son, Jesus, in the flesh. He sent the king to bring his incoming kingdom. Boy, this is good news. The king himself showed up to open a new way to his kingdom. Now, what's interesting is that as I get to this part in my life, this idea about the kingdom of God. See, what I want to say is the way of life in the kingdom is opposite to the way of life in the world. To succeed and to live in the kingdom, you have to die. To become rich in the kingdom, you have to become poor. It's opposite. And so I came across an experience in my life between my junior and senior year in college. And I was invited to go to a conference put on by that other organization, Campus Crusade for Christ. My brother was involved with Campus Crusade. I had some dear friends in Crusade, and we were invited to this conference in Detroit, Michigan. All right? The Renaissance Center. Some of y'all know where it's different now, but it was the Renaissance Center previously. So I showed up for this conference, and in my backpack I had three applications for medical school. I was working on my applications for med school. The opening speaker stood up and said, my name is Dan Hayes. I lead the U.S. Ministries on campus for Campus Crusade for Christ. I was in my first year of medical school, and the Lord said to me, put it on the altar because I have something else for you. I said to the Lord, this is not funny. I have not sat up all night going back to microbiology lab to count those little growth deals every few hours, to go through biochem lab all this time, to go through organic, inorganic, quantitative, qualitative. I didn't do all that just to wave bye-bye and let it go by. I said, Lord, you don't understand. We had some long walks up and down the Detroit River. Oh, yes, we did. Some long walks because we had some things to talk about here. I said, now, Lord, now, you don't understand this thing. Now, I am going to serve you as a physician. I'm going to be the first doctor in my family. I'm going to honor my father and mother. Now, wasn't that one of those commandments you told? I mean, I had my case ironclad, y'all. But, you know, the only thing was all I got back from God was static. It was just quiet. And then I began to hear a voice coming back to me. And this is what the voice said. Verily, verily, I say to you, it spoke in the King James. Sorry about that. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. God was telling me a way of life in the kingdom is things have to die before they can really live and give life. And what God had me do with tears and crying is to walk up to the altar, and then it was so bad, then the guy had to be talking about Genesis 22 and Isaac and bring your Isaac to the altar. I said, oh, shut up. I get the message, man. Goodness. So here I'm just kind of stumbling up here to the altar with my little caduceus. You know, that's the little stick with the snake on it, right? So I'm just kind of walking up there like this and putting my little thing down. Now, you know, I was a good student of Scripture, so you know what the story is, right? You bring your Isaac, you put the Isaac up on the altar, you bind him, you raise up your knife, and you wait for the angel. That's what the story says. Well, I was waiting and waiting, and I watched that knife plunge right into my desire for medicine. And God said, I have something else for you. Now, that was a deep lesson in terms of the way of God in the kingdom. Now, I need to say this, too, because this is a very important part of my testimony as well. Some of the guys that I had the privilege, I was discipling at the time, went into medical school, and they're physicians now. They're serving God. They're helping put me in ministry. So you see, it wasn't more spiritual for me to go into full-time working for them and less spiritual for them to become doctors. What is more spiritual to do is to do what God leads you to do. And for me, God said, put it on the altar. For them, he said, put it on the altar. And he said, now, you're going to go to Baylor Med School. You're going to go over here to UT. You're going to go over here. And you're going to serve me out of that platform. But Eddie, you're going to serve me over here. The issue is, am I willing to do his will? What did Jesus say in Luke 22:42? Not my will, but your will be done. That was a powerful lesson in the kingdom. Entering the kingdom, a place where God does these things. Thirdly, the kingdom is a place of transformation. The kingdom is a place of transformation. I remember some years after this, I went on staff with the Navigators in 1980. And so then I go through all this staff training. I mean, y'all, some of y'all don't know the Navigators are like intense, man. I mean, you know, you do Bible study light sometimes. I mean, when you get with the Navigators, I mean, you do Bible study deep. I mean, you're getting into all this stuff. So I'm just going, man. So I get in there and I do all my staff training so I can be an official Navigator collegiate staff. I mean, my badge and everything. I mean, I'm going, y'all, looking good, ready to do this thing. So then my first assignment, Tuskegee Institute, a beautiful historically black college down in Tuskegee, Alabama. And it had been the ministry had been going for a while, and then the staff left, and I was going to go and open the ministry up again. So, I mean, I'm ready to tear it up. I mean, let me at it, Jesus. I mean, just hold me back. I'm just ready to go do this thing. I'm trained, cross-trained, and trained again. Look out, here I come. So I'm getting down here, and I'm thinking about all the competencies that God has given me through all of the training that I've gotten. And God brought me down to those red clay Alabama roads. And the very first thing that happened down there is I was threatened with legal action if I even walked on the campus. So I couldn't go on the campus for the first 6 months I was there. I was stuck in a trailer 3 miles outside of Tuskegee, Alabama, while all my friends were graduating from medical school. Try to call your parents and talk to them about that when they're talking to all your friends. That was a hard time for me. There was some deep soul searching going on. Because what I saw is that, listen to me on this, y'all. Listen to this. Your competencies can take you places that your character cannot sustain you. And when you are focused on your competencies, they will take you places that your character has not been developed deep enough to withstand the pressures of. Do you even know what the pressure of success is? People's lives implode under the pressure of success, not just failures. They can't take it. So God brought me down to the red clay roads of Tuskegee, Alabama, to walk up and down there with my little puffy poodle, Woodstock, who was wetting all over my little trailer because he wasn't house trained yet. And I prayed and fasted and called out to God. And God said to me during that time, if you want to develop greatness in the kingdom, then become like a child. Matthew 18:3-4. Verily I say to you, except you be converted as little children, you shall in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom. You see, God is more concerned. He was more concerned in my life that he developed humility and brokenness, that I went in and got some big thing going that I could write about in my prayer letters and tell people about and tell my parents about so they don't feel bad when they talk to their friends because I'm not in medical school anymore. See? And God needed to take me into a very, very deep place. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's pretty deep, y'all. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now, if I want the power of Christ to rest on me, then I have to go to the school that Jesus is leading me to. And that school is a school of humility. That's a school of weakness and infirmity and brokenness. The question is, do I want to submit to God's training and development plan? Because if God wants to develop greatness in me, then he's got to take me to the depths of character development so that the foundation is laid beneath the competencies to sustain the pressure of success and the weight of failure as well. I didn't even give you the lesson out of this one is that the kingdom is a place of transformation. Now that's going to be our whole message tomorrow night is going to revolve around that issue of transformation. So this is just a little teaser kind of thing. So, but am I going to submit to God's training and development plan? Because the kingdom is a place of transformation. Fourthly, and some of these will go quicker now. The kingdom means partnering and working with others who protect my weaknesses and defer to and develop my strengths. The kingdom is a place of partnership. God, do you know that God created us incomplete for a reason? Do you ever think about that? You are created incomplete. Get over it. Get over it. Just get over it. Without air, you die. Without water, I'm gone in a couple of days. That's it. But I also have deep needs for love and to be loved and to be significant to somebody special. See, we're all created like that because we're made in God's image. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to verse 26, gives a powerful picture saying that the hand needs the eye needs the foot, the body's parts individually are created so that each one is incomplete on its own. So we need each other. We need to be connected in community. So this beautiful picture in 1 Corinthians 12:12 to 26, is a picture for us of how we are to be connected. And the season in my life following Tuskegee, I ended up at Memphis State University with none other than my beloved, dear, wonderful, exciting brother in Jesus, Rich and Lois Jarvie. Now, God put me with Rich and Lois because he knew there were some things in my life that needed to be dealt with, and Rich and Lois were the solution. There were some things that I could bring along with Rich and Lois that would supplement what God was doing with them, and together we were a team. It was tight, y'all. It was sweet. We were in the city that Martin Luther King was assassinated in. We had an incredibly multi-ethnic ministry there, African-American and Anglo. I mean, it was amazing what all was going on there. But we worked together as partners in the work of the kingdom. Because there was things Rich could do I couldn't deal with. I mean, I remember we went on this ski trip one time. I don't know how to ski. Man, I grew up in Third Ward. I mean, the most skiing I did was tripping down the bayou or something. I mean, I couldn't deal with all of that. And we got there, and Rich was just skiing around me. He got one leg ski behind his back, you know. I mean, I'm just going, good night, man. And but it wasn't just things like that. It was the way Rich's walk with God complemented my relationship with God. He filled in the gaps where I was weak. And the kingdom is a place of partnering. We are created incomplete. We need to get over it, and we need to get together. We need to empower one another. We need to learn how to honor and defer to one another and work together. And not look for what I can get, but look for how I can give and what I can do to contribute to what God is doing. That's why love, 1 Corinthians 13 is in the midst of the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. So we are all excited about the gifts and what I got for Christmas, you know. No, it's what have I been given to use to build up in partnership with others. So the fourth principle, the fourth lesson of the kingdom, is kingdom work means partnering with each other. Fifthly, the kingdom of God is a multi-ethnic kingdom. The kingdom of God is a multi-ethnic kingdom. Now, this is where it really got fun. All right, so then I just finished up the time at Memphis State, and then the Lord led me to go to seminary. I'm just going, good night, what is this all about? I mean, haven't I done enough Bible study already? But he said, no, brother, it's time to go even deeper. I'm going to take you some places to navigate as though even go. And then I discovered the world of Greek and Hebrew. And boy, was that exciting. I loved it. I ate it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm kind of nuts on that, on these languages. But as I got into that and began to study and all of that, I said, you know, this part of my life in study is great, but I am not going to get stuck in some ivory tower and become some geek weirdo that doesn't even know a real person if he walks up and bit them. And so I said, while I'm getting this, what do you want me to do over here, Lord, to keep my hands in ministry and in reality with people? And you know what the Lord let me do? The Lord gave me a blessing, something I've been, for all my life, since I could way back to Speedy Gonzalez, I've always wanted to learn how to speak Spanish. Always wanted to learn. I mean, my next door neighbors were from Bolivia, and I said, you know, sometimes you just need to do it. So I said, so Lord, look, I got to learn Greek and Hebrew anyway, so let's just slide Spanish here on the social side. What do you say? So the Lord gave me a group of five roommates. It was five of us. Okay, I was Tejano. I was from Texas. Then we had a guy from Panama. We had a guy from Paraguay. We had a guy from Mexico and a guy from El Salvador. Check that out. And two of them didn't even speak English. So I moved in with my Berlitz phrase book, Spanish and English, and I knew three words. I covered the bases: tacos, fajitas, and buenos dias. That was it. And so I got that, and I jumped in, and I said, Lord, let's roll. Let's do this thing. And little by little, like I said, in Espanol, poco a poco, I began to learn, and those words began to make sense. All of a sudden, it wasn't just like the stuff on the menu at Taco Bell or something. I mean, this was people's lives. And people were beginning to share their hearts with me, and I was hearing it for the first time in the language of their heart. That touched me in a deep way, because I begin to notice that now when I connect in here, I'm connecting with a person's soul in their heart, not just with their head. And I came across a verse of scripture in Isaiah 49, verse 6, and this was deep. And this is a theme of verses that goes all the way back to Genesis 12, 3, where God promised. That's the first time the gospel is preached in the Bible, by the way, is Genesis 12, 3. You can corroborate that in Galatians 3, 7, and 8, especially verse 8. But when you go back to Genesis 3, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those that curse you, and in you, Abraham, will all the nations of the world be blessed. Now, here is this promise to God that is going to bless all the nations through Abraham, and then you get all the way up now from way back at Abraham, beyond 1440 B.C., all the way up now to 8th century. And now Isaiah, in Isaiah 49, he says, it is too small a thing to restore Israel and preserve the chosen of Jacob, but I will give you to be a light for the nations, that you can bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. God said, it's too small a thing to just do Israel, to just reach people like you, Eddie. But I'm going to call you out, because the kingdom is a big place. The kingdom is every kindred, tongue, nation, and people. And so where God and his kingdom is going is to the nations, Eddie, and so do you. So I said, well, Lord, you know, that's all right. So I said, yeah, this can work. This is cool. So I kept working at that. And so so 4 years, graduated from school, and then I looked up one day, and all of a sudden, I wasn't translating in my mind. The Spanish was coming. I was being able to have conversations with people. And I said, so I was having dreams of maybe Spanish Harlem, or maybe, you know, Puerto Rico, or something like this, and where's God going to lead next? And then all of a sudden, something strange started happening. This is number 6. Don't be afraid of the kingdom of God and where it might take you. Don't be afraid of the kingdom of God and where it might take you. That's number 6. Because I was just having these wonderful thoughts of all these warm, beautiful, sunny beach places where I could scuba dive all day and just watch the palm trees at night as I was having man-to-man with someone or sharing Jesus on the beach and in Spanish and English. And I was having all these visions of great, and then I started hearing these weird ideas about this place called Russia. And my friend called me up and he says, Eddie, God has called the navigators to train these teams of hundreds of people that are going to go to spend a year in Russia and work together on teams of 10. Would you come and help us design that? My first response was, you got to be kidding. Why would anybody in their right mind go to Russia, man? I mean, goodness. I mean, I'm from Texas. You know, we drink iced tea down there, right? I'm going, I prayed for a week and I went back and told him no. I said, uh-huh. I prayed for a week and I told the brother no. I said, man, I'm sorry, but look, I'm a brother. I'm from the hood. You know, I'm from Houston, man. I live on this side of the track. I said, look, I've seen Rocky IV. They got people over there with icicles in their eyelashes, man. Well, no. I said, go find you a Russia expert who can speak the language and all this and be warm and feel thank you. That was the end of that conversation. Well, God has got your number, y'all. He's got it right down. I mean, he's got my cell phone, right? 330. I mean, he's got it right there. I ended up in Colorado Springs for a meeting that had nothing to do with commission on the first day they were training the first group. And I was sitting down. Y'all, listen to this. This is the kingdom of God. I was sitting down minding my own business. Or like we used to say back in Third Ward, minding my own business. And I'm sitting down in a restaurant and up walks my friend who had invited me to go to Russia. And he tells me, guess what today is? Why don't you come tonight and hear Dr. Bruce Wilkinson talk about what God's doing in Russia? So I said, all right. So, you know, you can't be, I'm going to be Jonah, you know. I know better than that. So, all right. So I went and I sat in this meeting and this guy started to talk about Novgorod and Chelyabinsk. He started to talk about Moskva. He started to talk about St. Petersburg. He started to talk about how the Spirit of God was working in a country whose soul was coming out of 70 years of Marxist-Leninist atheism, and how God was opening up the clutch of the enemy on this country. And before I knew it, I just had tears streaming down my cheeks as I was sitting down listening to this. And I was saying in my heart, no. Remember Rocky IV? I was saying, no. So I went back to my hermanos in Chicago where I was living at the time, and I told them I need to take a week to pray and to fast and to seek God on this, because sometimes if you want to keep in step with what God is doing in the kingdom, you pray and you fast and you seek God's face. And that's what I did. You know what God told me? Let me tell you what he told me. He led me to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Anybody heard that little old verse? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make straight your path. What God told me was this, y'all. He said, Eddie, you have drawn a box and you said, Lord, I will serve you anywhere in the world as long as it is in this box. And I didn't even realize that I had a box, but what God was saying to me is, Eddie, I didn't draw that box, you did. And Russia is not in your box, but guess what? Behind door number one, Russia is in my box for you. So what are you going to do? Lean not unto your own. I can't figure out the kingdom. It's too big, it's too deep, it's too wide, it's too high, it's too amazing, it's too mysterious. I can't figure it out. That's why God invented obedience. Because I may not be able to figure it out, but I can trust the character of God and do what he says on the basis of who he is. And so on that basis, I very humbly got my little old passport and walked on the Lufthansa flight at the end of 1992 and traveled to Moscow. And guess what? I landed in Moscow in winter. And there was a man standing next to the airplane with icicles on his eyelashes. It was just as bad as I thought. I made 6 trips to Russia in 1993, and then in January of 94, I moved to Moscow. And I lived in southwest Moscow. Now, I don't know if y'all have figured this out yet. They don't speak Spanish in Moscow. So So I'm walking along, okay, oh my goodness. You ever tried to read Russian? You cannot even read Tualiet on the wall because it's written in Cyrillic. And I'm just going, oh, Jesus. So here I'm back again now with my Berlitz phrase book in Spanish and in English and in Russian. And I can't even read it. So God puts me in another situation where I'm vulnerable and I have to depend on Him because that's the way of the kingdom. That I, Lord, help me to not be afraid of where You will take me because You'll be with me and You will design exactly the development sequence and exactly the type and the shape and the texture of crucible that my character needs for the next stage of development. And that's what Russia was for me. And God walked me all through Novosibirsk and Chelyabinsk and over in far. I took a flight one time from Moscow, 9.5 hours to the city of Khabarovsk, and never left Russian airspace. A 9.5 hour flight, landed at 4:30 in the morning, and it was 27 degrees below zero. That was on the runway. It was 2 below in the reception hall. God will take us places because He loves us and He knows what's coming and He will prepare us for it. Let me finish with the seventh thing. Seventh thing I want to share is that the kingdom of God is a kingdom for all. Is a kingdom for all. And this is one of the places that God is bringing me now. Because I came back from Russia and the Lord brought Barbie into my life. Now that's another whole testimony. We won't have time for that one tonight. But this was also a challenge for me. I'll just give you the short version. The short version is, in 1975, I went to a workshop at a Navigator conference like this, and somebody said, if you desire a wife, you desire a good thing and obtain the blessing of the Lord. So that's a good thing. You should start praying for wives. So I did. 1975, I prayed. 1978, I kept praying when I graduated. 1979, I started getting wedding invitations to other people's weddings. 1980, I started to fast for a wife. Because praying alone wasn't working. 1985, I threw my hands up in the air and shouted. Because I kept getting more and more. I said, Lord, if I get one more wedding invitation, one more tuxedo bill, Lord, when do I get to have a tux? Well, it was 22 years of praying and waiting. That's 2-2 on your dial. Click, click, click. 365 times 22. I mean, serious. And God, some of us just take longer to get it, okay? But see, God had a plan for something He wanted to do because of something He wanted to accomplish. And this was the way to prepare me for the message He wanted my life to have. You may not wait 22 years for a mate, but God will have other things in His life that He will put His finger on. And He will withhold or He will do something different. And you will have to walk with Him and wait on Him. And then He will give you what He wants you to have. And it will exceed what you were thinking. And it will take you places that will blow your mind and shoot your hair out just like this. I mean, it's just amazing. But the kingdom of God, I'm going to finish up on this. The kingdom of God is a kingdom for all. One of the things that God's been doing in my life recently, and I want to finish with this thought. There have been a number of people that God has brought into my life that have mentored, that have coached, that have encouraged me. And there's a passage on the kingdom in Matthew 25 that I want to point out. Now I'll just read a couple of verses because our hour is late and I want to finish. Matthew 25:34. The king, that's Jesus, sorry, the king will say to those on His right hand, this is at the end of time of the judgment, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Wow. You want to be that for the Lord? Well, listen how He describes the people who are the inheritors of His kingdom. He says, for when I was hungry, You gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, You gave me to drink. I was a stranger and You invited me, and I needed clothes and You clothed me. I was sick, You looked after me. I was in prison, You came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink, or a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply to them, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers, you did for me. This is a powerful, powerful scripture that has begun in recent years to really echo in the chambers of my heart with a new and a fresh reality. See, it's very, very easy for us, especially in the West, especially those who have the privilege of being college educated, to forget the poor. You see, as soon as we touch the kingdom of God, we don't have that option. We don't have the option to be indifferent. Because as a child of God, as a citizen of the kingdom, we don't have that opportunity. The Lord is saying those who are the righteous are those. Now, I'm not saying that God is calling all of us to throw our hands up and go move very in the heart of the inner city. That's not what I'm saying. But God, in a group like this, may call one or two of us to do that. But I'm saying as citizens of the kingdom, these are the words of Jesus here. And what's amazing is that it's so easy for us to read over passages like Isaiah 61, where he talks about the prisoners and the broken. And he talks about the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to get into that tomorrow morning. But as we see there that God is talking about the poor, I ran into Kit Danley, who is the leader and founder of a ministry called Neighborhood Ministries, who's one of our Navigator partners down in Phoenix, Arizona. She's got about an 8-acre complex right in the heart of South Phoenix, and you do not want to be outside of the gates over there at night. I'm telling you, this is serious. And they are reaching primarily Hispanic and Native American men and women and families over there, and God is doing amazing work through advancing the gospel among the people right there in the neighborhood. Last year, we brought the national leaders of the Navigators to spend a couple of days with Kit. You know what she did? She walked us through some of the key verses among the 2,000 verses in the Bible on the poor. There's 2,000 verses in the scripture about the poor. We can't just spiritualize. That just doesn't mean just the spiritual poor. There is something in our lives that is incomplete. You know, James 2:5 talks about the richness of the poor. And that's not just a metaphor. That's a kingdom reality. So in God's economy, there is actually something that those who live in under-resourced communities complete in us who've had the privilege of some things that they haven't had. That's the way the kingdom works. And so God is, I'm so thankful now to be put, Mark, I was with Mark early a little while ago, who's a former governor of Virginia, and he's now the president of Prison Fellowship. And he was saying God's heart is for the last, the least, and the lost. And so when we talk about the kingdom of God, we have to do what Paul said, which is, when he said in Acts 14, and I don't forget the poor. I do not forget the poor. I don't forget those who come from challenge. Dr. John Perkins is another elder and a mentor of mine and of the Navigators now. He's 78 years old, or 76 years old, excuse me. He has a third grade education and 7 honorary doctorates. He grew up in the bowels of the worst that Mississippi could throw on a black man in the 50s and 60s. And God used him and raised him up through much pain to call whites and blacks, Anglos and African Americans in Mississippi together in ways that are absolutely phenomenal. And God's used him around the world, around the country. He's been in the White House, the Oval Office of the last three or four presidents of the United States. He saw that around the world, a man with a third grade education. Because God is using him. And the Perkins Center in the heart of Jackson's African American community by Jackson State University, a historically black college. God is using a man like this now to mentor the Navigators, to help us to understand what are some things that we have yet to understand about the kingdom of God. Because God says the kingdom is for such as these. And with all that God has given us, we are incomplete in ways that we graciously and lovingly can turn to our sisters and brothers who have far less on one level than we do, but they're far richer in some other ways. and learn from them. And they can learn as well from us. That's the kingdom of God. So as we look at this, and you know, I'm just thinking in our area here, you know, you've got folks like Matt and Bev Hale there, and I know Chris and Angie have done some good work on this as well, too, in terms of some of the studies that they put on together, worked together on this. So you've got some resources around, even in this area, to help. But as we think about these kind of ideas on the kingdom, I want to finish tonight by just kind of letting you know where we're going to go starting tomorrow morning. The next three times we're together, we're going to talk about discovering the kingdom as a journey, and it's a journey of discovery. We're going to talk tomorrow morning about discovering the nature of the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we're going to talk about, the nature of the gospel of the kingdom. Tomorrow evening, we're going to talk about the power of the kingdom, the power of the gospel of the kingdom. And then on Sunday morning, as we finish up, we're going to talk about how do we join God in the advance of his gospel? How do we join God in the advance of the gospel? So that's kind of where we're going in our next times together. So thank y'all. It's amazing y'all have hung in this well. I'm glad I could talk tonight because I had to get up at 2:30 this morning. I'm thankful I didn't go to sleep on my own message. So you all are doing great. I can't believe how alert y'all are. That chocolate worked. That was pretty good. So let me pray for us and thank the Lord for our time. And then I'll dismiss to whatever is next, whoever needs to come up, Paul, whoever is next. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your kingdom. You taught us to pray your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to discover your kingdom at every turn in our lives. That entering the kingdom is beginning a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not learning a system of religion. It's not trying to please a bunch of people and convince them that I'm really a nice guy or we're really nice people. But Lord, we begin a relationship with the King of Kings. We deepen the knowledge of the King of Kings so that as we come to know him, we can trust him with our very lives. And we can trust others as well around us. So Father, we pray tonight, lead us into this time. May even this weekend be a journey of discovering the kingdom on a wholly deeper and fresh level. Bless us tonight, Lord Father. Refresh us and wake us tomorrow morning to serve you and to enjoy this wonderful time together. In Jesus' name, amen.